standing, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, fill us, we pray, with your light, that we may reflect your wondrous glory. So fill us with your love, that we may count nothing too small, or do for you nothing too much to give, and nothing too hard to bear. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The telephone rings late one night, and you jump out of your skin. It is so unexpected. Who could be calling? Now that we have call display, of course, you can see. Is it a wrong number, you think to yourself? But somehow you are compelled to answer it. And picking it up, you hear a voice that says, "Listen, something has happened. Something has got to be done. I know you're busy and have lots on your plate, but could you come?" The call has disrupted your life, and it is both frightening and disturbing. Or you're walking along the beach, and all your senses are alive, and you see a seagull, a seaweed in its beak, washing it in the waves, and then sharing it with another. Both of them begin washing their food. It is so wild and so beautiful that you want to write a poem about it, or use it in a sermon, or paint a picture, or sing a song. And if you're not any good at those things, there is a part of you that needs to let someone know that bit of wonder that you're suddenly aware, able to see. The extraordinary in the ordinary. Like the shrill sound of the telephone, you have this sense that nothing will be the same again. Your perception of what you thought the way things were has shifted. It is terrifying and comforting, disturbing and yet encouraging. In all three readings, from the majestic vision of Isaiah to Paul's alluding to his call as an apostle in the letter to the church at Corinth, and finally the call of the first disciples in Luke's gospel, speak to God's intrusion into their lives and into ours. I think we so easily forget, as one of my favorite authors, Barbara Brown Taylor, writes, we have lost along the way a full-blown sense of God's power to recruit people who have made terrible choices, to invade the most hapless lives and fill them with light, to sneak up on people who are thinking about lunch, not God, and smack them upside the head with glory. Take this morning's story from Luke. I wonder if when we hear it, we begin to question whether we have what it takes to be a disciple. Could I do it? If a clear call came to you this morning, could we get up from our morning coffee, drop everything, and walk out the door without taking our cell phones or our keys? Could we suddenly, in quality foods, leave our shopping cart at the free frozen food aisle and set out for parts unknown without stopping at home? But that is what happened to those first disciples. Here they are minding their own business, cleaning their nets for tomorrow, when a stranger borrows a boat on the lake shore that belongs to a fisherman named Simon. And he sits and begins to teach the crowd. And when he's finished, he asks Simon to go out into the deep water and put down the nets for a catch. Simon does it, and there's a great catch of fish. In fact, the catch is so great that others have to help bring their nets ashore. And the story ends with Jesus recruiting Simon and others to chuck everything in and follow him. Brothers turned away from all that was familiar in order to go after a stranger who called them to follow. It wasn't the way things were done in those days. Rabbis did not seek out students. Students sought them. The teachers of the law waited for people to come to them. And after reviewing them carefully or vetting them, they would decide whether or not to take them on as disciples. Only the most promising were asked to stay on. No self-respecting rabbi would have picked the first ones he laid eyes on. By doing just that, Jesus sets himself apart from the other teachers of his time. He alone walked among ordinary working people and without a single question asked them to be his friends. But stranger still is they went along with them. In Luke's version, clearly the main figure on the stage apart from Jesus himself is Simon Peter. And it is his boat that Jesus uses. It is to him that Jesus speaks first, asking him to go into deep water. Simon Peter is also the only person who speaks to Jesus, whom he initially calls Master, but after the miraculous catch, calls him Lord. And Jesus called, and they followed, not just one, but several. They dropped what was in their hands and went after him, not saying a single word. It was not as if they decided that this was something that they could do. It was more like something happened to them, something supernatural beyond their control. This is not a story about the power of human beings to change their lives, to leave everything behind and follow him. This is a story about God who walks up to some fishermen and works a miracle, creating faith where there was none, creating disciples where only a few moments ago there were none. This is not really a story about us. It is a story about God and about God's ability to not only call, but to create in us people who are able to follow. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off the one who calls us. Because he interests us more than anything else in our lives. Because he knows what we hunger for. And because he is the food. As one writer aptly puts it, it is a miracle, and to look at any other way is to deform the story, turning into a tall tale about courageous fishermen who sacrificed all to serve their Lord. They did no such thing. If they did anything under their own power, it was simply that they allowed themselves to fall in love. Jesus showed up. They took one look at each other, and the rest is history. God acted, and the disciples left their nets to wash out to sea. And for sure, it would cost them. In the moment, it cost them plenty, and it would cost them for the remainder of their lives. But the miracles is that their minds were not on what they were leaving, but who they were joining. Their hearts did not cling to their nets, but to what they were reaching out to find. And in that moment, like the jarring phone call or the sharing seagulls, their lives began to flow into the same direction as God's life. Their wills were not one or two or three, but one will. The kingdom came and comes every time our lives are brought into that same flow so that we allow ourselves to fall in love and to follow God's call. And we have no choice because we can do neither. We can do no other. And following Jesus doesn't mean we have to leave everything behind. That was meant for Peter, James, and John in their particular lives and time. The story is about being swept into the flow of God's will and giving ourselves over to it. And it's going to be a different story for each one of us in our particular circumstances. It may mean doing less every day, not more, so that there's time to watch how the light changes on the water or how the seagulls go about their business with no care for tomorrow. It may mean doing something different, something you never thought possible. It may mean willing to give up some long-held belief that's just not working anymore. It may mean making people laugh or weep in a way that cleanses their spirit. It may mean taking a risk, laughing more, loving deeper, and letting our nets down in deep water. The possibilities are endless. To Isaiah, Paul, and the fishermen, the voice said, go. And for each of us, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. But which of the voices that call us is the one we're going to answer? If we believe that God who calls can be counted on to create, then we do believe that he will create us as people who are able to follow. For whenever and however our wills spill into the will of God, our hearts are gladdened, and immediately the kingdom is fulfilled. And in the end, our vocation, our calling, is to be little Christ, to be Christ in whatever we're able to be Christ in whatever joy we have, in whatever place, among whatever brothers and sisters we are called to. And this is vocation, the destiny, the calling to which we have been called before the foundations of the world. Listen to the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And what did I say? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let us pray. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, moving between us and around us like wind or water or fire, breathe into us your freshness that we may awake. Cleanse our vision that we may see more clearly. O Lord, kindle our senses so that we may feel more sharply, and give us the courage to live as you would have us live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.